The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works for my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because he said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, congratulations. Out of all the fourth graders in all of Resurrection School, you are my favorite group. So there. Doesn't that make you feel special? No. Okay. Well, today we have a gospel that's a little bit confusing, so I want to give you an example, all right? How many of you have ever heard of Muhammad Ali? Only one? Oh, man, I'm old. Okay, let me try something else. You know, you honestly don't know who Muhammad Ali was? Everyone else? No? Okay, he was a super famous boxer. I mean, he's from a long time ago, but still, he's like the most famous boxer probably ever, okay? So, Muhammad Ali, one of the things that made him famous was not only that he was a really good boxer, but he had a really big mouth. And that was how he got a lot of publicity, because he would be shooting off his mouth in front of the cameras, and, you know, trash-talking people and stuff. And it was all a big game for him because he knew that everyone wanted to see him get beat up. The more he talked, the more people wanted to see him get beat. But the problem was he was really good, so he didn't get beat too often. Okay? But imagine, this is a long time ago because Muhammad Ali is not even alive now, but imagine a long time ago if I were to say, "I think I can beat Muhammad Ali," okay? In a boxing match, and he's considered to be possibly the greatest heavyweight fighter ever, so probably not going to happen. But imagine if I was to go out there and say, "I can do it," and Muhammad Ali says, "No, you can't, I will kill you," and I'm saying, "Yes, I can, I'm that good," and he's back and forth. How do you figure out who's right? Yes, okay, you, the only guy who actually knew Muhammad Ali, so you're my new favorite person in the fourth grade. By boxing him. All right, if I were to get in the ring and within 30 seconds I get knocked out, it's obvious he's a better boxer, right? So when you have a fact, you can't really argue with that. And if I were to box him 15 times and all 15 times I get knocked out in the first round, it would be pretty conclusive evidence. You know what? He's a better fighter than I am. I'm not even in the same category. And I could talk all I want, but everyone would just say, "Oh yeah? What about these 15 fights, right?" Even if it was just one fight, you would say, "Okay, lucky punch." But if he just keeps doing it over and over again, it's like, okay, that's not even close. Well, this is kind of what happened in the gospel. Jesus did not fight Muhammad Ali, and he didn't fight Conan the Barbarian or anybody like that. But he was in arguments with people, right? He was with arguments with the religious leaders of the Jewish people. And Jesus would make his point, and they didn't want to accept it, so they would argue back. And he would make his point again, and they didn't want to accept it, so they would argue back. So what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus had one big advantage. Jesus worked all kinds of miracles, and the other guys didn't. So if you come and you say, "I have been sent from God," And they say, no, you haven't. We don't believe you. Well, I'm going to do some things that only God can do. How about if I have somebody with a broken leg and you're like, yeah, like I remember when I was in high school, I broke my leg. I was skating and I broke it and just bad fall. So, you know, normally your leg is straight like this, like your shin bone is straight. I went into the medical room and before even the x-ray or anything, I said, I don't know if I broke it or what happened, but it's really bad. So the doctor took my leg and right in the middle of the shin just goes, yeah, it's broken. Okay. If Jesus was just to say suddenly, have somebody with a leg that's like broken and bent out of shape in the wrong spot, and he just goes, you know what? I'm going to cure you right now. And it's totally good. The guy jumps up and down on it and starts playing basketball and slam dunking. You would realize there was a miracle. Who can perform miracles? Only God. And then Jesus says, you know what? I have one sandwich and I'm going to give lunch to all of you. So I'm going to start with you right there, and you just like eat as much of it as you want and pass it over. And I managed to feed all of you with it, with one little sandwich. And in the end, we have baskets full of leftover sandwiches. You would all say, there's another miracle. Well, Jesus actually did that, but it wasn't just with a little group like you. It was with 5,000 people. He had 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 people. And there were leftover baskets all over the place with what began as, you know, enough for maybe 2 people. And he does those things over and over and over again. You have somebody possessed by a devil and he casts out the devil. You have somebody else who has leprosy and is physically, visibly disfigured and all that, and he cures them. And he keeps doing this stuff over and over again, and he's saying, I'm from God. And they say, no. Well, he's like, well, you know what? Explain the miracles. Who can perform miracles but God? And if God didn't send me, I wouldn't be able to do these things, right? So, the same thing is a little bit true of us. You and I are all capable. If you want to know if somebody is a good Catholic or not, okay? The first thing we're going to look at is say, okay, let's look at your behavior. You can talk and say, oh, I think I'm a very good, faithful Catholic, and that's fine. Talk, right? But if you see somebody who is loving, somebody who's always going out of their way and serving, somebody who's always kind, somebody who's always, you know, generous with the people around them, that's when you say, this is a person who is living their faith. Another person can talk all they want about, you know, God and the things of God, but if they're always going around criticizing and causing problems and they're too lazy to ever get up and help anybody, they're probably not living their faith too well, okay? So, the bottom line is this. Being a good Catholic is not just a matter of saying I'm Catholic and not just a matter of, you know, trying to do a couple of things that are Catholic things to do. It's a matter of living your faith. When we live our faith, we live holy lives, when we live lives of love and kindness, then people around us will see that we are Catholic, and then they will be convinced by our faith, and they will want to be Catholic too. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.